I got up in front of the 40 people that were on my tour group with me. I said some really nice, heartfelt things. Everybody threw candy at me, and I became a man. Yeah, at the ripe age of 24. So shotgun bar mitzvah. Last time I made some joke, like literally right before we were rolling, and it was missed. When was that, by the way? Was it 24?
No, it was more than a couple months ago.
Was it really? I don't know. It was. I feel like it was.
I can do this. Hang on. I'm just gonna search your name on Spotify.
This is true. I am on there. Might have been the beginning of 2025.
It feels like I thought it was more summer.
No way. Was it? There's not a fucking chance it was over the summer.
Oh, wow. No, this is like on the... Oh, my God. We're like a year from your last episode.
Really?
It was published Jan 23.
Shit. And what's the today's 21st?
Yes, it is 21st.
So damn.
This is basically like we're unintentionally doing like a one-year check-in.
This is like an annual physical. With dinner at your place.
I gotta touch your balls after this, Steve. I gotta make sure they're okay.
They're gonna be cold and shriveled. It's degrees outside.
So fucking cold out.
Yeah.
This will be fun for like a 1 year check. I'm gonna stop fucking with this and just slide over because right now it is in video length instead of podcast length.
Did you have the rug
last time? B got it for me. Yeah, I had it last time, I think.
Nice.
Dude, it's all of the videos, I have to make sure that the address is not in the video. Like, my house address is right there.
Totally. Yeah. Also, this pop filter, I feel like blocking, I can't see you.
Oh, you can take it off if you want. Right, it doesn't matter.
Really, just move that.
Yeah, that's fine. Oh, if that's the case,
let me throw you a... Here.
A wind filter?
Yeah.
Just in case there's a mighty gust.
Yeah, just in case there's a mighty gust, it'll keep the peas a little cooler.
Put this little condom on the microphone. Stretch it over the
tip. Literally what it is, yeah.
Come on, get on there. This is going to sound great.
You can rip. Oh, that's true, yeah. That'll be...
It's a tight fit.
The waves coming up were hilarious.
There we
scritchy,
go.
Scratchy, scritchy, yeah, scratchy.
I'm excited to hear how that sounds.
So fun 1 year check-in. Welcome back, Steven Nisatel. And it's fun. Here, do you want this seltzer?
Actually, yeah.
Oh God, you motherfucker!
What you want?
I have another.
No,
one.
No, I'll take my water.
No,
I got
it.
Just take
fine.
It.
It's
fine. Did this happen last year too? Is this Groundhog's Day?
No, I was probably more prepared last time. Or at least more set up. I don't think I've ever been quote unquote prepared outside of the meal part for this podcast, which is what makes it so fun. But
are any of us ever prepared fully?
I mean, as you just said 2 seconds ago, basically, yeah, life is hard too. So like, how's it going, buddy?
Better than a year ago for sure.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's definitely wonderful.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that today, actually, because I knew that this was around a year ago. Like, I was actually, I meant to look, but I was just like, it feels like it's been, I remember the last time I did this, I can remember, like, what energy I was in, like, what, like, the things I was feeling at that time, and I'm like, I feel like a different person. Not entirely, like, I feel like I have grown a lot since
then. It was
a
heavy episode, too. We were talking about a close friend.
This
who,
is true.
You know, so that... I can understand also if walking out of the apartment afterwards, you were like, man, my shoulders feel a little heavy right now. Like, it, very reasonably. But if it outside of that, too, you were feeling heavy, you masked it. I didn't, like, know. But I think, like, you expressed frustration, of course, and, like...
For sure.
I didn't think you were, like... down in the dumps, I guess, is like the...
I wouldn't say I was down in the dumps.
Okay.
I was like, well, a year ago, I was in like the very beginning phase of starting
this
business.
Yeah, you just left your corporate gig, we'll call it. Your regular 9-to-5 and starting on your own.
Yeah.
Branching
like
out.
Like summer 24, left the job, had a relationship end, a lot of big changes, and then like... the whole, pretty much like most of last year was spent like,
oh yeah, that person
kind of reclaiming this identity, figuring out who I was now in this new energy, so to say,
which involved dyeing your hair blonde.
Yes, which
fucking, I hate that it looked better than it should have.
Yeah, a lot of people.
It was really annoying, man. Like,
there's some hot takes about it.
It looked good.
Thank you. Do you hear that, Fed?
Oh, Fed didn't like it.
He was not shy about letting me know.
No.
We love Fed. Yeah, but the blonde hair is gone. The foreseeable future, maybe forever. It was a phase. It needed to happen.
It, as it should be. If you had kept it for longer, that's when we'd be like, hey, man, let's dial it back a little bit. You're not in a boy band in the 90s.
Well, okay, so have you ever seen the show Platonic on, I think it's Apple TV?
No.
It's with Seth Rogen. Anyway, he is playing this millennial my age, pretty much. We're probably the same age, I imagine. Seth Rogen, maybe he's a few years older. But anyway, playing some...
Wait,
like,
you and Seth Rogen in real life, or you in the show, Seth Rogen?
Seth Rogen in the show, but also real life. I feel like he's probably late 30s, early 40s.
How old is Seth Rogen?
I'm going to guess 42?
43. You like,
I was
right going to
say
43. Wow.
If I was the Price is Right, I would have won.
You would have won. That is true.
But anyway, he's playing this character on the show who, like, just went through a divorce, and he's like got this identity crisis. He dyes his hair blonde, and I was just like, "Fuck, is this me?"
Like a little bit,
yeah. But you know, it needed to happen. But no, I am in a much better place,
dude. Okay, so to start, I feel like a great way to kick off your new year, new space, was that awesome show on New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah.
That you guys played at Night Shift Brewing.
That
was it Night Shift? It was Night Shift, yeah, right?
It was.
There's so many breweries, so many shows that I just get them all confused, and like I have to latch on to something about the place. Like when Jaylene and I do It's a Date at Castle Island Brewery for almost a full year, I just had to be like, is this the pizza place? Because they have pizza. It's not. It's a brewery that has pizza, but in my brain, it was like, this is the pizza place. And
yeah,
she'd be like, yes, Danny, Castle Island Brewery is where you have to be. And I'd be like, cool, I'm getting pizza.
By the way, shout out It's a Date. I love that show. I have so much fun every time I go.
Dude, you did great on, that was fun. On that show. And can we talk about that, actually?
Hell yeah, we can talk about that.
So you were a contestant. And just if anybody, quick overview of this show that past guest Jaylene has started. It's called It's a Date. We meet four local singles. We ask them questions. And then at the halfway point, we vote on who would be the best match. And so the crowd basically sets up a blind date on stage for the second half of the show. It's very fun. You can swap yourself onto the stage if you see someone that you find attractive. It's a very chaotic night. Steve has done it twice.
Yeah.
Twice. And that's not knock on his character or anything of like, why'd you do it more than once? It's like, we need dudes to do this show because dudes are the hardest part to come by of this show.
Well, I'll tell you why I did it twice. It's a blast.
That too.
Which, it's a lot of fun.
But like, when we have a solid dude come through for this show, every time afterwards is like, hey, if whatever happens doesn't work out, please come back because we need your character personality, because we can't roll the dice on random dudes every fucking time.
You hear that, ladies? I'm a solid dude.
That might be the title of the episode. Steven is a solid dude. So we were having so much fun that night. I was really excited to see you in general, but also because you were a contestant. And I thought you were vibing really well with that human being who's honestly their name I don't remember, and don't say it because then I'd have to
I don't
cut
think
it.
I do either.
That's wonderful. That's perfect. So, what I straight up thought that you were going to go on at least a couple of dates. And then she just nuked it out of nowhere, it felt like. Did she give you any explanation? Because you guys were having a good time on stage. The only thing was that when the question, how would your friends, like, do you think your friends would like them or whatever, whenever that gets asked, something about, like, how would your friends describe you? Me and Jaylene have been doing this long enough where it's like, that's a great opportunity for us to jump in and go, oh, are the friends here? Like, we can just let them say it. And, you know, it opens up another lane. It gives someone a chance to talk, all that. So we jumped on it and they were like, the friends are here, right? Like,
yes.
And that was the only thing where they were like, yeah, we don't think they'd get along. And I was like, what? They've been getting along great for 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Well, because I think her friends wanted her to get matched up with the other guy, which is like, that's fine, whatever. The reason that she gave me for not wanting to do anything was, I'm pretty sure it was along the lines of like, I had really fun, a really fun time. I'm going to say that again. I had a really fun time.
Take two.
Going on a date with you on the show, but after thinking about it, I just don't really feel like I felt the romantic connection. I was just like, that's totally fine. I was like, I'm not even going to like try and change your mind. Like, why Hell would yeah. you? I'm like, cool. Awesome. I had a good time too.
Why would you think of me in a romantic
good
way?
Good luck.
No one can think. I'm not even going to try and change your mind. Obviously, you didn't mean it that way, but that's...
No, I did.
So I think... Okay, so let's... Do you think that if you're in a new space now, that was like 6 months ago, right?
Was that 6 months ago? There's not a fucking chance that was 6 months ago.
Okay, so we'll call it...
It could be, though.
We'll call it 3 on the earliest, 6 on the latest. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Is around that time maybe when you started feeling better? Because then if someone's like, I don't think of you in a romantic way, early years, Steve, would he have been like, actually thought like, oh, who can think of me romantically?
Well,
versus now where you're like, yeah, I don't give a shit. Well,
I don't
fine.
Think that I ever would have thought, okay, if you want to go back real far,
yeah,
like
whatever.
Early 20s, I probably thought that I was unlovable and undateable because I had not dated until I was in my mid-20s. I'm like a world away from that person now. But what's great, I remember this vividly. I remember this was the night before It's a Date, Jaylene DM'd me at like 11 o'clock and I was drunk and I was just like, yeah, sure, I'll do the show. And it was just like an impulsive decision. And then like the next morning I woke up, I was just like, I don't know if I really want to do this. I'm like really not feeling myself lately. And I was just like, I don't know if I feel like I need to go like perform in front of this audience. It's not a performance, but like to an extent it is.
It's very vulnerable to put yourself out there like that.
Then I was just like, I don't want to flake. I don't want to do that. I committed to this thing.
Thank you.
I showed up. Do you hear that, ladies? I show up. And I showed up, and I had a blast, and that night was sort of just like, it felt like a comeback night for me. I was just like, I'm fucking back. I got my mojo back. That's what it felt like.
And I think that's what, I'm very happy to hear that. And I think, and a shout out to Jaylene and what she's created, that show, excuse me, I've heard that from so many people. Just like, this night brought swagger back, a little bit of mojo back, even from people just like in the crowd who might have asked a question or, you know, got a couple laughs, or someone who was like, hey, I think you're kind of cute. And like, that was even it. It's just like those little moments that kind of only happen at that show, because it's stand-up shows. It's great. Everyone laughs and has a good time. But then for the most part, it's like, all right, see you. Like, we're getting out of here. Sometimes people hang around and we'll be like, hey, what's up? You know, it was super fun, all that. It's like a true community and hang, though, that is also so incredibly horny.
Well, I think at least one of the differences between being a contestant on that show and what you do getting up there and doing stand-up from the audience's perspective is most of the people in the audience watching you are not thinking, oh, that could be me. Like, they're there to see you do this performance. Watching someone on It's a Date it's very easy to think, oh, that could be me. I could relate to that. I could be up there doing that. So at least that's sort of how I felt, I think, the first time I went to the show, which was, it was like a couple of years ago when it was at like Han or whatever that place.
That was a good one. Yeah. Han was home for a while.
That one was unhinged.
Han,
there was some girl
ones.
Up there who was just...
Jaylene and I, we will still say, do you remember The Loft to each other every now and again? And the other, whoever says it, the other one will be like, oh my God. Like, and we're just like almost PTSD-esque flashback to this Chinatown loft. She did a kink show because she does, it's a gay date. I think it's a queer date, excuse me. It's a elevated date for like stoners and whatnot. She has like a bunch of geared shows, and one of them was, it's a kink date, where it was like, are you poly, BDSM, like whatever you're into on that scale, this one's for you. And at some point it turned so chaotic and so blue that it all became normal, and someone was talking about like, I think it was like fisting even. And I just turned to the other mic guy and was like, who cares at this point? Like, it all just became so vanilla in the end, where at the end of the night, it was just such an overstimulation of everything you could think of in a just degenerate fashion, where I was just like, I need a 9-hour shower to just destimulate from all of that. And that is the Chinatown loft. So, like, those... It hasn't gotten that crazy again, but I also think that's because that was literally someone's house, where, like, if people took their clothes off, there wasn't a business that was like,
sure,
hey, whoa, we do have rules here.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Like, where is the Chinatown loft? This is just hell? Like someone that Jaylene knows that has a place that they let her use? Or is it like a place that you could actually rent?
It's in the 7th level of hell.
Sounds great. When can we go?
It is, I think, no more. There were a lot of shows going on there, and then one night cops showed up.
Lame.
And as every cool house show goes, it gets a little too cool, and the cops show up and they say, you can't be doing this. And we go, okay. And then we keep doing it, and then the cops show up again and they're like, no, you really fucking gotta stop. And that's when it got shut down for real.
Damn. Why though?
Because again, it's if you charge tickets, I think it's a fire hazard.
Uh-huh.
So like right there, I don't think we have to go further.
I guess that's true.
Like
I feel like I know why. I'm just like in my mind. I'm like,
oh, I agree
why?
Entirely. Yeah. Like, what's the difference between if I have a party with 40 people, and then all of a sudden a microphone comes out and a speaker gets set up?
Yeah,
and, you know. I think it's once, like, it's a ticketed event is where you cross the line into, like, this is no longer a domicile and you're trying to run it as a business, especially if it's consistently. Where, like,
true.
They didn't have liquor licenses. They didn't have, I don't think they had insurance. Like, it was a very, very off-the-books operation that I think, again, boiling down all the reasons, if this catches on fire, this is a huge problem.
Yeah, that's fair. Damn. I didn't know it's a date with so punk.
Yeah, man, it's the most punk. You're trying to find someone who you can spend some time with and be yourself. So radical empathy.
And break every fire code in the book. Every building code.
I haven't done one of those in a little bit. And Jaylene actually texted me the other day. She asked how I felt about running them without her. And I was like, what, are you scaling back? And then she just never texted me. So,
dude, I would love to help out with one of those sometime. I feel like that would
have
a good time.
I got mean, if I'm running it, yeah, you know, I got no problem with
I'll
you
be your
being
wingman.
A mic man. Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
She always needs more people to help and hang out, especially if she is going to scale back. So,
yeah.
Okay. Enough about that show. More about you, of like, you needed that mojo back. So yeah. Let's say that's the upswing. How did, like, what, you just pull out like out of the nosedive and say, I'm done. I know who I am. I know that this is good. I know I am good.
So
even if she doesn't want to go on a date with me, that's fine.
The being told that she didn't want to see me was potentially the most inconsequential thing that's ever happened to me. I was over it before it even started. No offense if you, the woman who rejected me, is listening to this.
She could die. Whose name, I wouldn't care.
Whose name I do not remember. I had a lovely time. So, you know what's funny is the biggest theme in my life the last year plus has been being self-employed, being a business owner, yeah, being an entrepreneur.
Which is going well, right?
It is. It is always a work in progress.
Of course.
And
aren't we all?
What I'm realizing is, so I was talking to, there's a business coach that I've been working with over the last year or so, and I had a great call with him yesterday. And I was telling him about how, like, there are some weeks where I feel like I'm absolutely crushing it, and then there are other weeks where I'm just like, what the fuck am I even doing? Which, you can say that about anything in life. And then he was...
Am I talking to myself in a mirror right now?
Yeah. He referred to it as the entrepreneurial roller coaster. And if you can get used to that, then you can thrive. And as I've had more and more of these ups and downs throughout the last year or so, with each one, I'm getting more and more comfortable with it. So at first, it just felt like this thing where I was like, oh my God, when am I going to stop having these swings? And it has started to become this thing
Never.
Where I'm like, this just happens, and I always recover. I always find the way to persevere. And being more at peace with that has allowed me to just thrive and exist and not stress.
Never
as
too
much.
High when it's high and never too low when it's low, right?
It doesn't mean that I don't still get stressed and anxious and worn out some days, some weeks. We all do. But I think I've just grown to accept that this is part of life now, and that if I could go back to the life that I had before, I wouldn't. I don't want to. I enjoy this life more, despite...
It's a roller coaster.
Yeah, despite the chaos that comes with it at times, yeah. I would not go back.
How do you... Okay, here, this is a good... this quote just always helps me in these moments. When you feel sad, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. Everyone has those days when you doubt yourself and when you feel everything you do sucks, but then there's those days when you feel like Superman. It's just the balance of the world. I just write to feel better.
Yeah.
Mac Miller said that.
R.I.P. A real one.
Yes. So that one helps me so much, and it seems like that's kind of what you're talking about. Are there any things you do that when you are feeling so low like that of like, God, I do suck. I do. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, how do you stop the spiral?
Well, I've learned that it's okay and actually beneficial to step away from things.
My brain has been filling... I'm sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
My brain has just been, like, filling in things. Like my sister said she was something about popping, and I read it way too quickly and was like, why are you texting me about pooping? Oh, that's not at all what you said. So when you're like, sometimes I think it's beneficial, my brain was like, to lean into the spiral. I was like, whoa,
yeah,
that's a take.
Yep.
This will be interesting.
Just, like, completely... Go down the rabbit hole
and just completely devolve into the self-hatred.
Yep. a big puddle of self-loathing.
You can always go lower.
You can. No, it's good to step away from things sometimes. And if something is stressing me out or overwhelming me, and like it's not this dire thing that needs to get done today, which it almost never is, you can just be like, I'm going to put this down for 24
Dude, it
hours.
It feels like it, though.
Yeah.
It feels like everything needs to get done now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no time to waste. I feel like every day I'm talking like to my mom or something, and I'm saying, I wish I had more hours in the day.
Yeah, that's...
There is not enough...
Capitalism and hustle culture making you feel bad for not getting enough done.
Absolutely. I mean, you were saying before you have a lot of takes on social media and mental health.
Yeah.
And I have to be grateful for this incredibly toxic space that has given me A, an outlet to write and express, but B, is people have seen it. So I have to be grateful again for this ridiculously toxic space where a lot of times people will be like, you fucking retard, Danny. You're so fucking stupid. Actually, no, they don't say it, because even though they want to bring back the slurs, they're still saying like restarted or like spelling it with numbers. And I'm like, what? So you can have your precious social media account and not get banned? I thought you didn't care about any of this. Just say retarded. Like, what?
Well, like,
I mean, don't say retarded.
No. There's a lot of different ways I can go with this. One of them, okay, so this is something that I have been thinking about a lot lately. There is no shortage of people online talking about how they are autistic, and a lot of them are self-diagnosing. And I'm actually, I don't know where I stand on this, on the whether self-diagnosis is okay, because I can make an argument for both of them.
I don't know where I stand if I'm autistic or not, but I gotta be.
No, but there are a lot of people that will just be talking about how they're autistic, and hold on, I don't know where I'm going with this.
That's fine, yeah. Work it out. No, it's if you will allow me to try and help lay down some train tracks for you. It is frustrating when you put the work in to go see a professional and figure out things deeply rooted within yourself and come to accept that maybe you do have a diagnosis, and you go through all the proper steps and all the proper channels. It is very frustrating when you see various
yes.
videos of people being like, I have XYZ. I figured it out myself. I self-diagnosed. It's like, and I will also advocate for the other side and say, like, it is wildly difficult to find a doctor, to get yes. access to healthcare. So if that brings you comfort to say, like, yes, I have self-diagnosed whatever, sure. I guess I don't agree with it at all. Maybe a better way would be like, I think I have this based on XYZ, but I can't go to doctor because ABC.
Yes.
That's a very long-winded sentence, but I don't think I'm self-diagnosed is the answer either.
And a lot of times it's like, yeah, I had AI diagnose me. I had ChatGPT diagnose me that I have this thing. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I had the robot tell me I'm autistic.
I think more of the point.
I had the robot tell me I'm a robot.
Better point. Actually, this is more relevant to me. So I have ADHD diagnosed. I've had it for years. And I'm actually, for the first time in my life, actually doing something about it, addressing it, working on it in therapy, which is a fantastic thing to do if you have ADHD and you've never bothered to address it. If you have access to those resources, you can do it in therapy. However,
I'm laughing at you being like, working on yourself and the things that hinder your ability to live a productive day-to-day life, great.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like me with, I got a winter coat and I've been telling everyone, I've been like, do you know how great winter coats are? And they're like, yeah, man, we live in Boston. Of course winter coats are great. It's 6 degrees out. And I'm like, I haven't had one for 2 years.
This episode of Dinner at Your Place is brought to you by BetterHealth and...
and Kohl's.
And Kohl's. Yes. But I see a lot of people posting these memes about ADHD and using it as like an excuse to why they don't get things done. It's just like, you know that you don't have to use it as an excuse. You can do something about it. And I think that that's actually toxic to the whole mental health sphere on social media, because it's fantastic that... Okay, we're going to start with... Millennials have done a fantastic job of normalizing talking about mental health and going to therapy. And Gen Z has taken that torch and run with it and made it even more mainstream, more talked about. But then I think there's a certain point, and it's not just Gen Z, there are people who are millennials that do it too, where they've devolved and done what I'm talking about, which is just making sort of like, not a mockery of it, but just making these jokes about it and saying like, yeah, like, it's okay to have all this stuff and like not actually do anything about it.
Your diagnosis is not an excuse to be lazy. It's not an excuse to not try. It's not an excuse to be an asshole.
Yes. Completely.
That's what it boils down to. It's absurd that it's not a blanket of like, I have this, so now I don't have to try and focus or,
yeah,
you know, empathize with other people. It's like, no, you arguably, it sucks. You have to try harder.
It is true. Life is not easy.
Ah, God. Oh, fuck. I had a question for you after all of that.
I'm glad that we could solve the mental health crisis together, Danny.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
One episode at a time.
It's fixed now.
Oh, okay. If this is hilarious that this is the question and somewhat ironic, but you said you're working on ADHD and therapy, and I know ADHD stereotypically, and this is, you know, similar for like OCD, when people are like, I'm so OCD, I need my pencils a certain way. And it's, yeah, like, oh, I need to lock a door 7 times or my mom's going to die.
Yeah.
We are not the same.
No, that's the debilitating
so
kind.
For ADHD, and my brain is kind of like, I don't know, squirrely is a terrible example. Like twitchy, you're here, you're there, you can't really, yeah, focus. So if that's a raw and imperfect understanding of ADHD, how is that something, like, how do you work on that if focus is the issue? How do you focus enough to have an hour-long conversation with someone and listen to them and, like address what they're saying and know that, like, this is what's going to help? And
sure.
Yeah.
So... Well, for me, if I'm interested in something, I'll lock in. I'll be laser focused, sure, on it. The problem that I have, and many people have, is that when you have to do things that you're not as jazzed about, it becomes a lot harder. And it's compounded when you have many things that you need to do. And for me, I know that historically, I'm great at starting things and great at not finishing them. Like, so all these different projects around the house, all these different creative endeavors, I feel like just about any creative can relate to this, where it's like you have so many ideas and you want to put them all into action, and it's easy to forget that part of finishing a creative endeavor is doing some things that are not necessarily creative. It's like purely like the executive functioning that I was talking about. Seeing something to completion is separate from being creative, but it's part of that creative process. Whether it's like, oh, you want to write a song, you may have this song in your head, you've got all the parts written, but then if you don't know how to record music, or if you don't know how to produce, if you don't know how to play all the instruments, you have to go figure all that out, get people to do it, put it all together, and see it through its completion. I'm not good at doing that with songwriting. I'm a great contributor, but for I do my primary.
I got this great idea for an app. Yeah. I got no idea. You go make the app.
This is like a Larry David thing. He's got like, he's like an idea man.
I'm an inventor. I can't invent it.
But for me, where I'm running a business and I've got so many different things to do, I've had to like totally just reevaluate like how I function every day and like how I start each day to make sure that I plan out what I'm going to do. And that I have a plan to actually see it to its completion, and it's been working for me.
So structure is help. Like, if I'm when you say a plan for the day, are you like literally blocking out the day?
Yeah, dude. I will.
So
like,
structure is helping the.
Oh yeah.
The diagnosis.
I make a list every morning of what I want to get done that day, and it's become. It was a challenge at first to write a list that was not overly ambitious, because then you don't want to get to the end of the day and be like, I didn't get everything on my list done. I still have those days, but there are certain things that I'll put on there where I'm like, I would like to get this done today, but if this doesn't get done today, it's okay. There are certain things that are like, no, you absolutely need to have this done today because of the facts A, B, and C for tomorrow or next week or whatever.
Dude, I love throwing on a to-do list like brush teeth or whatever and then getting that check there being like, let's go, baby.
Yeah, that little hit of dopamine feels great.
We're getting the ball rolling.
Dude, put laundry, fold laundry on there. I put ship cookies on there. So I brought these cookies that I brought you. I sent a couple out to Arturo, Michelle, the labs.
I'm very excited to try them.
Nathan and
everyone in Cardi, it seems.
Yeah, everyone in Cardi. BMO, Kelsey got some coming.
Nice.
If you didn't get some from Cardi, it's because you did
you
not answer
showed up
my
in a while.
Yeah, you haven't showed up. You missed my message in WhatsApp, and I didn't have your address. I didn't.
I'm excited to try them. I've prepared one question as I do. Are you Jewish?
Yes. A lot of people don't know this.
That makes so much sense. Oh, I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, I had no idea. I thought you were Italian.
I'm Greek.
Which,
similar. And equally annoyingly proud.
How do Greeks feel about their moms?
My mom's Jewish, and I love her.
Well, that's the Jewish side of you, yeah, then.
How do Greeks feel about their mom?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because, like, I was thinking, because in my brain, where I was like, I thought you were Italian, and I was like, eh, same thing as Jews. They both love their moms.
I think Greek boys like their mom.
I don't know. That's not one that I've heard. Stereotypes aren't great, but then once, if you do get to the like, oh, what do you love your mom? It's like, yeah, that's a great, yeah, what are you talking about? That's
awesome.
Shout
out Lucy. I love you.
Shout out Susan.
Love you,
she's
mom.
Probably
love you too, Dad.
I think both our moms are probably listening right now.
I hope they are.
I know my mom is. Okay, so it's Jewish biscotti.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's Jew Scotty.
That's the best way to describe it.
Don't tell Scotty. Scotty doesn't know.
Jew Scotty.
Can we open it? Can we try it?
No, I don't want you eating them.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
I know. what is it properly called? Not Jew Scotty.
Mandelbread.
Mandelbread?
Yes. Spelled M-A-N-D-E-L-B-R-O-T. I'm gonna grab one of those.
Some raisins in here. So,
depending on which one you grabbed, there's one that is.
I grabbed this one. He holds up on an audio only podcast.
That is the chocolate chip toasted walnut.
That's very nice, Steve. That was very good. I am impressed.
Appreciate you, baby.
You said you've been going on a baking kick, and this is very lovely. I don't know if it's right. I've never had Jewish biscotti.
Oh, it's
but
right.
It tastes great.
My mom's been making these for years.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah.
So is this like a Hanukkah past, like, or is it just any time?
This is an anytime recipe.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah.
This wasn't like a special treat or anything?
It's always a special treat, but...
Just like, it's Tuesday or whatever, I'm coming home from school, there's mandel bread.
If I go home to my mom's, to my parents,
yeah,
and there isn't mandel bread on the server, I'm like, what's wrong?
I was going to say, what's wrong, who died, but then I figured if someone died, there'd be double the amount of mandel bread.
Lots of mandel bread. Oh my God. So much mandel bread.
Did you get, bar mitzvah? Yeah, bar mitzvah?
I did, but not the traditional way.
Did the moil bite your foreskin off?
Yes, that's exactly what
that's
happened.
That's what happened.
Oh my God. 2013, I went to Israel on the birthright trip. Do you know what that is?
No, I know, but now I'm staring of like, maybe we did talk, maybe you have said birthright.
I don't know if I've said it on this show, but...
Might have been on a Zoom or something, and then everybody was screaming, so I didn't, like, process it.
That sounds like most Cardi. I feel like I say my best material when everybody else won't shut the fuck up.
I mean, dude, that's... I had to repeat a top three worst news I've ever gotten in my life four times because people kept joining and going, wait, what happened? And I would go, okay, one more time, and then another person would join, and I would just have to say again, my sister had a miscarriage.
Oh, damn. I do remember that.
It was so long. It's fine.
Maybe that's when I was. Maybe that's when I was trying to tell people about the bar mitzvah.
And totally just slipped my mind because I just had to say that four times.
So this bar mitzvah, I was in Israel in 2013 on this birthright trip, and if you don't know what birthright is, go look it up. It's a free trip to Israel just for being a Jew. It's wonderful.
How do you so like? Can you just say who do you say I'm Jewish to? Then they say, "Here's your plane ticket,
dude." It was so long ago that I don't even remember. It was through this organization called Taglit, and so
God bless you.
There was someone on our trip who was not Jewish. She told them that she wanted to convert, so they gave her the free trip.
Oh my God.
And you know what? You know what? Kudos to her. She followed through on that shit.
She converted?
Yeah.
Like, while there?
I don't know if it was while she was there. I'm pretty sure she moved to Israel afterwards, so it worked. Yeah. She went over
there. She went for it.
Yeah, she bought in. I was 100% in it for the free trip. I'm not ashamed to admit that. And
hey, that's the Jew in you.
Damn right. So it was like probably, like, I don't know, the sixth or seventh day on this trip. I was there for 10 days and we went on this sunrise hike in the Masada, in this desert up this mountain.
Sounds gorgeous.
And there was this moment where our tour guide was just like, for anyone who hasn't been bar or bat mitzvah, if you would like to have that happen, we can do that now. So the way that I did this,
hey,
I just,
anybody want to become a man in the eyes of the Jewish faith right now? We
yeah,
got that. We can
yeah.
take care of that.
So I got up in front of the 40 people that were on my tour group with me. I said some really nice heartfelt things. Everybody threw candy at me and I became a man. Yeah, at the ripe age of 24. It's a shotgun bar mitzvah.
Shotgun bar mitzvah.
Yeah. Couldn't get that in Vegas.
I was serious about to say that is Vegas bar mitzvah vibes of like
1,000%.
Hey, we're here. Who wants to get this done?
Mm-hmm.
What do they throw fucking butterscotch candies at you?
Dude, they were like little like Timu ass Tootsie Rolls. Like, you know, like the Tootsie Roll looking things that are different flavors,
yeah,
but not the Tootsie Roll brand.
Yeah, they're like purple green wrap.
Yeah.
Why is that part of a bar mitzvah? I've never seen that done at a bar mitzvah, throwing candy.
I hadn't either.
Is it supposed to represent rice? I thought is that a thing?
I don't think rice.
No? All right.
I have no idea.
Well, that's a hell of a bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately that you didn't get it done at 13 and get to have $50 gajillion given to you.
Wouldn't but nice. I dropped out of Hebrew school in fifth grade.
Oh, so you... Okay, dropped out. And they didn't even, like, ask about, like, Hebrew school. It's just so fun. This fucking girl. I'm not Jewish, but I just want to go to Israel. And it was cool.
Yeah.
She didn't even, again, if you went through the whole, like, I was in Hebrew school, I dropped out, but now I'm looking to, you know, reinvigorate my faith, and then being like, absolutely go on Birthright. And me, yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
I might. Sounds kind of fun. I might be one of you. Who knows? I'm a little lost right now.
It's a great trip, though.
10 days is not a short trip, either.
No.
That's a nice chunk of time for... And, like, how are the accommodations? Like, where did you stay? Was it just, like, a Hilton?
No. We Jewish stayed Hilton? In a bunch of kibbutzes. I don't know if that's the proper plural of that word. A kibbutz is this... like a community, like where they have shared resources, farms, etc., where people live throughout Israel. kind of, maybe. Don't quote me on this. I could be describing this wrong. But anyway,
a community. Regardless of the.
That's
the
where we stayed, and then there were so they took us around on this tour bus. But I went back to Israel 2 years later because one of my friends, Holly, who I met on that trip, she was from Arizona, but she moved over there. So I just went over to visit her.
That's not the same girl.
No.
Who, okay.
Different girl.
Okay.
And so I was in Tel Aviv for a week just hanging out. Like some days I just had by myself because she was over there with her partner at the time. Yeah. Just like living, working.
Doing stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I found so peculiar and funny was there are these, like taxi buses that you can just get on and off.
Okay.
And they're called Monesharots, and it sounds like money chariot. And like literally, dude, there was really not a whole lot of rhyme or reason to how they ran. You could just hail one. Put your money in, and when you were ready to get off, you'd just be like, stop this fucking thing and let me get off. Like, there were proper bus stops, but sometimes you could just get off forever. Mm-hmm. I didn't, because I didn't know where the fuck I was, but there were people that were just like, we'd be like in the middle of like a stretch of highway, they'd be like, yeah, I'm getting off here.
The heater's good. I'm fine. Let me off.
Yeah.
As the cars are...
It was wild.
So... Do you think of yourself as a religious person?
Not at all.
Yeah. I think there's something up there, out there. Who knows what it is? I believe in a higher power. I've come to terms with my personal maker. I don't think anybody else subscribes to what I believe in, but that's fine because I believe in it.
The shrimp up in the sky.
The big old shrimp, baby. It's just a giant...
I hope it is. Everything would just make more sense.
It honestly would.
I think that all of this is so profound and extraordinary and, I guess, unexplainable that it's a little bit naive to just completely deny that there's something that we don't understand. Because think about, like, I was thinking about this the other day. The Earth could have been anywhere in the fucking solar system if you believe in the Big Bang, which I do.
And
we landed in the perfect spot for human life to exist. It's not too hot, not too cold. Not yet. It could be
it
too
will
hot
be.
One day. But also, you think about the Big Bang, how that all happened. What if there was just something that happened, like, tomorrow that knocked the Earth, like, 100,000 kilometers in a different direction, and then all of a sudden, we either all just froze to death or just melted?
I think that's possible.
There's a non-zero chance of it happening.
Yeah, something like vacuum theory or something like that I read the other day, and I was like, oh, that's a huge bummer. We could all just get sucked into nothing. That's cool. What a fun time. Getting sucked into nothing does sound like a good time. You know what I'm saying, brother?
Amen.
I oh man, how do you appreciate the spinning rock? I think two things can be true at once. It's what I find myself saying.
No, they can't. There's only one truth about everything, Danny.
That is what I find myself saying very often lately, as well as one must imagine Sisyphus happy with his rock.
Who is Sisyphus again?
Sisyphus is the Greek god who was forced to push a boulder up a hill forever.
Oh, that's
not
a
Greek god.
Yeah.
Greek. It's Greek lore. But yes, he's been forced to push a boulder up a hill forever.
It sounds more like a peasant than
so,
a god.
Yeah, right. So the last line of Albert Camus' essay, he's a French philosopher, The Myth of Sisyphus. Is one must imagine Sisyphus happy with his boulder. Mm. And I have been saying that so much recently.
Are you happy with your boulder, Danny?
Some days.
Yeah.
Some days I'm very happy with my boulder. Some days I'm very happy with it, and I'm very grateful that people help me with my boulder, and I'm not alone like Sisyphus. And other days I feel very annoyed by the boulder. Very annoyed that it feels like I'm pushing as hard as I can and it goes nowhere. But that is the aspect of a boulder. That is the aspect of pushing said boulder up a hill. And I will live to see another day to push the boulder up a hill.
Yeah. That's the dream.
Whether it is with a smile or full of rage, I will be pushing my boulder because there's no other option.
Yeah. What other choice do you have? You know what other choice we do have, though? Go make some hot chocolate real quick.
I was going to say kill yourself, but which I do not endorse. It was just for the sake of comedy.
Let's go make some hot chocolate.
Do you have any shows coming up with Wario Speedwagon that you want to plug?
We don't have any public shows coming up yet.
Oh, look at you.
I do have some shows that I want to plug. Sarika is going on tour.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we are going to be doing 4 dates. Oh my God, let me get the flyer so I know.
Yeah, absolutely. This is your other band that you're with.
Yes.
Can you say it one more time too? Sarika?
Sarika. She is a local pop artist.
Yes.
I play drums in her band.
I should hit her up. Get to know her.
We are going... Oh my God, what the fuck did I just...
I love that you put it back in your mouth.
I think it's like a walnut shell. I don't know.
You pulled it from your mouth, said, "What the fuck did I just looked at it?" and then bit it again to decipher what it was.
If you would like to know what I just bit, took out of my mouth, and put back in my mouth to bite again... come to the Sarika show.
This is why it's not a video podcast.
So we will be playing at the Berlin Under, A in New York on March 31st. We will be at Last Ditch in Greenfield, Mass on April 2nd. We will be at AS220 in Providence on April 3rd. And then we will have our final show of the tour on April 4th at Warehouse 11 in Somerville.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah. It's going to be sweet.
Multiple spots, including multiple states. That's very cool.
Yeah. First time I've ever gone on tour.
It's your second. Didn't you go to Seattle with her?
That was just like a one show thing. I guess that's technically a tour. It was a one show tour.
You flew across the country to do a show.
This
at
is,
the very
this
least,
is
that's
true.
Something.
Yes, that was awesome.
All right, check those out. I'll link her Insta or Bandcamp or whatever in this bio as well as your stuff. Thanks for hanging out, guys. Love you lots. Follow Steve. If you're not already following me, do that. Leave a rating for this podcast. So many people tell me it's great. Go give it 5-star reviews. That helps.
Give it 6.
All right. Thanks again. Love you lots. Bye.
Bye.